Our scripture this morning is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body.
Paul was writing to the church in Corinth because it was a mess. It was truly a mess. If you can imagine, it would be sort of like a combination of New Orleans at Mardi Gras, Las Vegas at any time, New York, with a little of San Francisco thrown in. It was a conglomeration of all things, all peoples, all belief systems, everything. The message that Corinth gave out was much the same message that New Orleans gives out. Laissez-les, le bon temps rouler. A crossroads of every culture, every religion, every bad behavior known at the time. And I like this part. I'm going to read to you a little bit from the from one of the articles about it, because it's just so much fun. It said that, this commentary says that Corinth was full of profligacy and licentiousness. You don't get to use those words very often. And the commentator said, in the first place, deplorable divisions had split the church into hostile factions. You know, we talked about that earlier, why the church at a very early age was already breaking up into separate groups. Secondly, one of their number had been guilty of gross immorality of a kind even which the profligate society of Corinth wouldn't favor. Thirdly, members of the church had been dragging each other before the pagan courts to settle their differences. Fourthly, some had been, Fifthly, the supper of the Lord, which should have been an expression of loving harmony, had degenerated into an occasion of irreverence, gluttony, and uncharitable behavior. Sixthly, there were disorderly and unedifying scenes when they met together for public worship, especially the exercise of the spiritual gifts. And they were speaking most probably of one of the new gifts that they had discovered was the gift of glossolalia, or speaking in tongues, and they would utter strange utterances. And we had in the church at Taylor Lake, and we had some rules on the spiritual gifts. Have you noticed how shy we are here when it comes to clapping? You know, We clap kind of like that. Or that hymn this morning where we reach up to the sky. Well, oh, can't do that. That looks a little bit like that. So we established some rules at Taylor Lake. You could raise your hands and you could clap. You couldn't fall down. That was just going too far. If you were slain in the spirit and felt the need to fall over, you had to go outside into the narthex. And all of the other expressions were we kept the back row, we kept it reserved for those who felt a special need to exercise those particular gifts of the spirit. I sound like I'm making mock. I'm not. I just don't. It's not a part of my worship experience. But remember, the word for today is diversity. So our brothers and sisters in Christ, there are all sorts of wonderful combinations of worshiping. Once in my early ministry, I was in Eastland, Texas, which is a little county seat town, and the church was on the one corner of the square, and the Baptist church was on the other corner of the square. And I was asked to pray at it. This was a meeting of, it was a evangelistic association out of Indiana that had actually a headquarters in Eastland. And I was asked to do the prayer at their big annual get together because I was the newest minister in town. And I get up and I start bowing. I bowed my head, of course we all do, and I started to pray, and it was only about 10 seconds into the prayer I could hear a hum. And then it got louder and louder. Well, here I am. I'm in my first year of seminary. And all of a sudden, it breaks out into full speaking in tongues. And it was glorious, but I was scared to death. And I wondered later, how is it that we can be so different in our understanding of worship and the practice of worship when we all come together in unity with Christ? If that's someone from Eastland, I'm not here. But think about the amazing diversity within all of the umbrella of Christ. It is glorious, and we need to, if not express it ourselves, appreciate that gift in others. So if you feel a need, during a song to clap along and raise your hands, please do. Peggy, go for it. I know Peggy Schneider wants to more than she does. And we give you permission. And that's the thing, is we don't have to give you permission because we each come to God differently, don't we? Oh boy. Their diversity, though, was threatening to tear apart the fabric of the church. We are living in such a time right now. I don't even look at Facebook anymore. I can't. I, even some of my own friends, I can't stand the divisiveness. There is a huge difference in diversity and divisiveness, isn't there? And we're seeing some of that. And I'm not talking about one side or the aisle or the other. We're seeing some of that in our culture lived out. Political pundits on both sides of the aisle have their rhetorical knives out, and they are sharpening them. Even the church sometimes becomes a battleground for conflict like that, does it not? We're not going to do that while I'm here. What shall we do? What can we do? First of all, acknowledge and accept our diversity. I mean, if you look around you, I can't see you with my readers on. And you know, my 99-cent readers are no longer doing the task. acknowledge our diversity. Within this room, I can promise you that there are people on both ends of the political spectrum. I can promise you that there are people on both ends of the theological spectrum of Christianity, from very, very all biblical literalist fundamentalist evangelicals all the way through and all over here with me and my, you know, my wacky almost Unitarian friends. And there's everything in between, isn't there? That is part of our strength, not our weakness. If we can love each other and differ with each other on opinions of things that matter as much as religion and politics, you have to admit that's a gift of grace. But after we acknowledge it, what do we need to do? We need to really listen to each other. We need to really listen to each other. There are those on the opposite side of the political spectrum than me that I need to listen to and learn from as they do from me. And the same thing can be said theologically, culturally, any other way. We need to listen to each other. And instead of listening, what we do is that, and you know you do this, we are preparing what's going to come out of our mouth next, aren't we? And so we don't really fully hear what they're saying. And then acknowledge this, and this is where this passage comes in. Acknowledge that we need each other. From First Christian Church Conroe to the sea, to Shining Sea in America, it is our diversity that is our strength and not our sameness. The hand cannot say to the eye, I have no need of you, nor the foot to the mouth. The foot in the mouth sometimes says that. Acknowledge that we need each other. And if you have a friend you've been shying away from because he or she is just so far wrong in their views, call them. Take them to coffee. You don't have to talk politics or religion, but just show that you care and you hear them. More of that has to be done today. And then finally, Curly had it right when he said in that movie, I forget the name of the movie, who was Curly the old cowboy? City Slickers. He said, the main thing is to keep the main thing, and there's just one thing. Don't squabble over the details. What is the main thing here? Again, not a rhetorical question. What is the main thing?
Jesus.
I love it. You need to tell your eldest what a profound influence he is having on this church family, that we're quoting him almost weekly. Yes. What is the main thing? To proclaim and to share God's love. One of the old saints said something like, preach all the time, use words only when necessary. How do we do that? We share our diverse gifts. What is your gift that you bring? What is the gift that you alone bring to this place and you're willing to share? I want you to be thinking about that deeply in this next week. We're having a board meeting afterwards, and we're going to be kind of planning what is going on. And part of that is going to be to decide how we plan for our future. Because you may not have figured out this, but organizational skills are not my strong suit. So we need to get organized in how we're going to meet the future here at FCCC. And I hope we can do that and start doing that in the next month or so. Had a friend come forward and volunteer to help in that process. And it's going to be exciting if we can talk the board into doing it. And I think we can. So what we need to do is we need to share our diverse gifts. And out of our diversity comes unity. And what does that unity look like? Jesus is talking to his closest followers. He knows that his time with them is so limited. Hear these words. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete, he told them. And then he gave them one final order. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Diversity to unity is what we desire. Amen.